So please take your seats and we'll start in 1 minute once I have the green light from the operator that this session is now being recorded.
The call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. So 15 minutes early, we'll start the next session on our schedule for this Saturday. And that is a session that deals with, first of all, workload issues. The idea from this came, I believe, from a message which I sent to the council list a few days or weeks ago, I forget now, explaining or complaining, I guess you should say, about the volume of documents that we get before ICANN meetings. And as you know, there is a system in place whereby there is a deadline that is 15 days before each meeting, and that deadline means that all documents that will be used for the meeting must be in by then, which essentially means that on that day everything is published and you wake up with 700 pages to read. So that was the start point for a discussion which I hope will be a little bit wider, or a lot wider, on the difficulties we all face in the ICANN community with the workload, the amount of documents that we have to read. My initial beef with all that was also that, as far as the GNSO Council is concerned, we are expected to deal with policy matters, often based on the documents that we receive 15 days before a meeting. And if you have that volume of documentation to read, you are bound to miss important stuff for those of us that actually read the stuff. I mean, it'd be interesting to know who's read what, but I won't put anyone on the spot. And that means that when we come to doing our jobs, which is making policy, taking decisions on matters that are crucial to the work that goes on at ICANN, we may not be sufficiently well prepared to do that. That is a worry that I've had for a long time. I know it's shared by a lot of you on the council, and I think it's useful. I don't have any ready-made solutions. If there were, I'm sure someone else would have thought of them by now, but I think it's always useful to have that discussion and see, first of all, if other people are having the same issues that we're having, and how we can try and better deal with those issues. So to try and introduce us to that discussion, I'll turn it over to Jeff, who had, because I was absent yesterday, Jeff went to the informal ICANN chairs session with the CEO that happens on the Friday, and I know that there was some useful discussion there on workload and the amount of workload that we have to deal with. So let me turn it over to Jeff as an introduction, and then we'll hopefully have a good discussion on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Stefan. You know, your first question of whether anyone else has this issue, I think this issue combined with responding to public comment periods, I kind of view it similarly. I think it was universally held by whether it was the GAC, the ALAC, the ESSAC, or the, who am I missing, sorry, oh, CCNSO. I mean, everyone pretty much had the same comment and has the same issue. So this is not something that's unique with the GNSO. In fact, a lot of what some of the other groups have to do is react to the documents that the GNSO puts out as well. So they're all dealing with it. And, you know, the short answer is there is no real concrete answer to this. As Stefan said, if there was, they would have thought of it years ago. And this is not a new problem. But some of the ideas, there were some ideas that were floated out as to how to ease up the workload a little bit or to at least provide more time. I think combined with the workload and the amount of documents was there were some groups that find it very difficult to, because of the nature of their groups, provide comments within 21 days, right? Because everything now has gone to a 21-21, 21-day comment period followed by a 21-day reply period. technically the reply period is only supposed to be a reply to comments that were made during the initial 21-day period, but if you look at some of the things, it actually, the reply period is used by some as an extension of the original comment period. So you'll see some original comments in the reply period. And, of course, everyone has their own needs, and, you know, while some were suggesting, well, do we lengthen the initial comment period to 30 or something longer, you know, I tried to pull it back and say, but that's, you know, people are actually asking how PDPs can move faster, not take longer, so we need to find the appropriate balance. So some of the items that were discussed yesterday included, that we all said we would go back to our groups, included things like an early notice by staff as to what are the comment periods that are coming up. Oftentimes, you know, none of us have a clue, and all of a sudden we don't know that there are comment periods until they show up. And I think the GNSO policy staff has actually been pretty good about that, and we actually have it on our pending comment list, but also talking about all of the other things that ICANN staff puts out that all of a sudden show up on, in this case, June 4th or June 3rd and June 4th that Stefan made his comments to. So an early notice on all of the things that may be coming out for comment, and then asking each of the chairs to look at that and to basically put in a request if they think a comment period is going to take longer. So let's say something came out from ICANN staff on whatever it is. If Stefan gets some feedback from the GNSO saying, hey, look, 21 days is not going to be enough to respond to this, then Stefan would send a note to the ICANN staff in charge of that and say, we need more time, whatever that is. So I think that might help a little bit with some of the groups. And also an upfront notice, and this doesn't really happen with us as far as the GNSO as a whole, because usually when there's comment periods, we respond as individual constituencies or stakeholder groups. But the other organizations like the CCNSO, the GAC, they all respond as organizations. So it's basically a notice from each of our individual groups as to whether we intend to file a comment. So that ICANN staff knows, you know, even if it's a day or two late that the comment's going to come in, that they have a heads up that people are actually working on comments. So if there's a 21-day comment period and the registries know, for example, that we're working on a comment, we're not going to get it in the 21 days, if we could at least give ICANN staff notice that we're going to file a comment on this, we're working on it, it may take 23 days instead of the 21. That might help as well. And one of the topics that came up to avoid everything coming out the June 3rd, June 4th was a kind of informal rule saying that we should avoid any comment periods during the ICANN meeting or 1 week prior or 1 week after. Because we know that a week prior people are leaving and it's too soon before the meeting, and a week after because some people stay later and it's hard to get ICANN staff and people to focus one week later. So having this sort of informal 3-week blackout period around each meeting where there wouldn't be any comments that would be due. Because right now, if you look at the schedule, and I don't think this is with PDPs or anything, but if you look at the comment periods as to when they end, some of them end on the 24th, some of them end on the 25th, some of them end on the 28th, all during the ICANN week. And even though you have a reply period that's after that, it's still not a good practice to have a public comment period end at or during an ICANN meeting. So those are some of the ideas to just throw out there. If people agree, don't agree with those, just to kind of get some feedback.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. And we'll open a queue for discussion. I've got Marika, Margie, Alan. Let me just add a few words to steer the discussion, if possible, just before that. I'm very interested to hear what Jeff's just told us about the recap in the discussions with the other groups yesterday. Obviously, it's no surprise to any of us that other groups have these problems. I'm just forever surprised, actually, within ICANN that all the solutions to our problems are actually, I find, very timid. For example, we have an obvious problem with comment periods, but there's never a solution to do anything but lengthen them or shorten them or just have them not happen during the ICANN meeting week. No one ever questions the actual format of the comments themselves and whether they are as useful as they could be. I think that's also true, and these are obviously very wide-ranging discussions, and we're not trying to find a solution today, but I think that's also true for the way we do reports. And we might, I'd certainly encourage the council to going forwards to think of that, especially as, dare I say it, we are supposed to be starting a new GNSO restructure process next year, I believe. So considering the last one nearly killed us all off, we probably don't want to do that very soon, but that's one of the things that we might want to look at during that process is exactly how do we format, for example, reports that happen during a PDP process. And some of the reports I find very, very difficult to deal with because there's so much stuff in them. Now, we have improved this in the past with one-page summaries on the reports, with executive summaries, and things have got, you know, have really improved. I'm not saying there's not been any work on that, but I'd be really interested to try and brainstorm this by turning things around rather more substantially than just changing comment period dates, and instead trying to find solutions like, for example, the stuff that we've seen happen this week for this meeting with the decision to cancel Fridays, which I know is very controversial. I know a lot of people are not keen on that decision, but it is something that I see as an attempt to change fundamentally the way we do things and try and improve our processes. Whether it works or not is different. Whether it was done in the right way or not, I don't want to debate that right now because that's not the object of this discussion. But it is a big change, and I'm glad someone's at least trying to look at the way we do things and change them significantly. So I'll stop preaching there and turn it over to Marika. I had Margie, Alan, anyone else? Thomas, Mary, Jeff, Mikey, and Wolf. Marika.
And I think Wendy wants to be in the queue.
And Wendy, sorry, Wendy.
Yes, so this is Marika. Just one in response to your question, what goes into a PDP report? I think that's actually prescribed in the PDP manual, allowing at least a minimum number of elements that need to be covered in a report, which, you know, often as a result does result in lengthy reports, but I think working groups trying to do their best, at least in the executive summary, to really call out the main elements and often as well come to the council to really present, you know, what is in there, and a lot of it is more to make sure that there's a record and people can refer to the detailed discussions. And just to to Jeff's comment on upcoming public comment periods, I'm not really sure if everyone's aware, but actually on the, if you go to the public comment section on the ICANN website, it has there an option to click upcoming, and I think there are now like almost 30 topics listed there that will open over the course of this year or have already opened, and you know, as part of the ATRT recommendations as well to improve this process, you know, we have on an ongoing basis try to indeed predict what is coming out. And I think the council has also been asked, like, do you know any topics? And we, from our, the staff side, also try to add you know, what topics we foresee coming up throughout the year. And I know that's being done in other parts of the staff as well. So I'm sure there's room for improvement, but it's something that already exists currently.
Thank you. Margie.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that we do have a public comment forum open for a PDP, and that's the IGO issue report that Brian Peck spoke about this morning. So maybe that's something if the council wants the public comment period to be extended. The rule for the 42 days is the minimum, not the maximum. And so if we, you know, if you think that's because the first part of it expires, what, Brian, this week?
25th.
The 25th. You could tell us, you know, in a wrap-up or whatever, you'd like more time, and we can certainly give more time given the fact that it's in the middle of a, you know, a meeting.
Yeah, just to respond, I mean, I understand that. That's the minimum, but we were told that that's the standard now. But to respond to that, the point isn't that we want longer or shorter. we don't necessarily want longer, but we want it to start earlier so that it doesn't end during ICANN week. That was the point. So if the 21 days had started instead of June 4th, but started May 20th, then 21 days may have been enough. But the problem is that everything starts, all these documents come out on June 4th, you know, the 15 days before the meeting ends or whatever it is. Maybe that one was June 1st, just for the dates. But in essence, all around the same time. So the real point was, don't put ourselves in a position where that happens. Let's get the documents out earlier or later, as opposed to getting them out where it ends. So I, for one, would be very upset if we decided to extend comment periods, because we're trying to work on a process to make comment periods, sorry, not comment periods shorter, but the whole process shorter. By starting out a preliminary issue report and already extending that comment period, you've now doomed this PDP to take that much longer.
Thanks, Jeff. Once again, you know, if you think out the box, we could run comment periods concurrently with other stuff, for example, which is something that I know questions have been asked about that before. I mean, you know, if we continue to have this discussion about how long, and just going back to your point, Marika, about the what's in the PDP process now, that was the point I was making earlier on, is that I understand that the result of what we have is the result of the rules that we have in place now. What I'm saying is, do we need to change them going forward if this organization is to remain viable in the light of, for example, 2,000 new GTLDs and all the work that that's going to generate? Alan.
Thank you. I think you've just hit it right on the head that we have to figure out how to get the processes done more effectively. And maybe it is parallelism. Maybe we start working on the results of the interim report here, even though we know there may be some changes because of the result of the comment period. There was general feeling that 30 days often wasn't enough for some SOs or ACs to come up with reports, especially given the specific timing of it, and the result was, let's shorten it to 21 days. I think there's general acceptance at this point that 21 plus 21 does not work for a whole bunch of reasons, and I don't think we need to agonize over it. Hopefully that will change. But clearly we're going to have to be more innovative in how we manage our time to get the actual work done. I find it exceedingly frustrating that we had I won't call it a gentleman's agreement, but there was general consensus several years ago that we not include the time of an ICANN meeting as a comment period. And then we have this year where there were comment periods that ended yesterday. There were comment periods that end during the week of ICANN and just after the week of ICANN. It just doesn't work. I'm tired of having to fight the same battles over and over again. I don't know whether it's because of a lack of corporate memory or people just don't care, but it's a waste of my time and a waste of our time to hold these same have these same battles year in and year out, and I wish we could find a way of fixing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thomas.
Thanks, Stefan. A couple of suggestions with respect to the workload discussion that, Stefan, you thankfully kicked off on the GNSL Council list. With respect to comment periods, I know they're listed on ICANN's website, but I'm a visual person. I think it would help me a great deal to have a visualized master calendar where you can see when they start, and then I think it's easier for staff as well, for those who start comment periods, to see that they should equally distribute over the year, not conflicting with ICANN meetings. One might also think of a maximum of comment periods being open at the same time in order to reduce the workload, particularly when they go into the when they deal with the same topics. I mean, requiring the attention of the same target group. I also thought that, and that would apply both to documents put out by ICANN as well as to comments, that we might consider character limits in order to avoid exceedingly long documents, because I think that keeping things short and simple, the old KISS rule, should be applicable in the ICANN environment as well. In terms of structure of the comments, I think that one could consider a completely different type of taking comments. My impression sometimes is that many of those who write comments want their own comment being out there and sort of own what they have and want their work displayed. I think what could be better serving the community and also helping reduce the time required to analyze the comments is to ask people to split it in portions, to make small points with character limits and then have that as a poll system so that if I come in next and see I like this idea, I just plus one it and can give my credentials so that you that you see who you know supports which ideas. And only if you have a brand new idea, then you would open another idea or thought section in the comment area. I think by doing so, particularly in the light of all the new entities probably entering the ICANN arena, that might help reduce the workload on all sides. Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas. Mary.
Thanks, Stefan. Thomas has covered some of the points I was going to make, as some of us have been having some discussions since your message was posted to the list. So I'll try to be constructive and add a couple more. I think your point about, Stefan, about the formatting of the reports, if I could take that a bit further. But first of all, I want to say that as an academic, as a researcher and a professor, I really appreciate all the reports that ICANN staff puts out. The length could be problematic in some ways, but I think having that kind of document is useful and in some cases actually necessary for corporate institutional memory, if nothing else, and certainly for reference. I guess the point then is there something else that could be done, not just the executive summary or the one-page summary, which really doesn't give you a full flavor of the work that, say, a working group's put in, or even some of the substance of the recommendations that the group might come up with. So I was thinking along the lines of having something that's more of a beefed-up summary, but coordinating that with two things. One, the policy update webinar, and two, for our purposes, for the GNSO community, the council meetings. And in some way, in terms of timing them, and coordinating the presentations so that they are, if not seamless, at least there are various avenues of information so that you're not just one person sitting there going through a 100-page report and then a 100-page report and then three scorecards and then trying to figure out if you want to submit public comments. Those are quite rudimentary thoughts, but maybe some coordinating thinking behind that, as you said, thinking out of the box. Then a related thought was that there are different members of the community here with different levels of interest, expertise, experience, and background. So, for example, in making some of the presentations, some of us might find some of the background material unnecessary, others might find it very necessary. So we might want to delve a little bit deeper to think about what are the purposes of particular presentations, whether during a council meeting or during a webinar or something else, and structure each differently depending on who you're targeting it to, rather than do a one-size-fits-all. I know we've gone some step towards changing that for our own council meetings, but I think we might want to look at that further and drill down a little bit more deeply. Then finally, and this may be adding somewhat to workload, but I feel obliged to mention it, again, talking about newer members of the community, and we always want more people to participate in working groups and volunteer and so forth. If the workload is bad for us, I mean, it's particularly scary and intimidating for them, not even knowing where to start. And I know some of us have been in working groups where, with newer members, and we've all been there ourselves. For example, a question will arise, well, what's the meaning of consensus? Another question will be, well, what format should we put our recommendations in? What does high priority mean versus medium priority? We might have to look into some specific training for members of the community before they participate in working groups or something like that. Like I said, it might be adding on to it, but if we can do it in a way that takes into account the fact that the purpose is to make us more efficient, then it might be worth considering.
I believe ALAC have an idea about training or doing an academy or something like that.
I wasn't going to go there in this session because I believe we're talking about that later, aren't we? But It might be a lead-in.
Yeah. Just to your point, for continuing with the queue, just to your point, Mary, about I think you've made an important point, and this is an open discussion, but about the barrier to entry for newcomers. For anyone that's not in this process, any of the reports that currently are produced do make it very difficult, I think, to understand or penetrate what's going on. And I actually disagree with the first point that you made about the fact that the reports are necessary, even if it's just for collective memory of ICANN. I believe there are, I mean, just to go off tangent completely, the written press has had this kind of problem and has gone through this kind of process whereby it used to be the norm to write, for magazines, for example, to write extremely long articles. And as time has passed on with the internet and people having less time to focus on anything, it's become the norm that short is better and that you can't write long-winded articles that go on page after page. I believe we have the same kind of evolution to do at ICANN. If we want to make it easier for people outside to be able to understand what we're doing, maybe we don't, and maybe that's the secret plan, is to make it difficult for anyone else to sit in these seats, but I don't believe that's the case. So I know that any of us who have ever shown an ICANN report to anyone, be it in their office, I work for a domain name company, so you expect people to know basically what's going on. They just run. You show them a report, they run in the opposite direction. I believe there are things that we can do there to change that. Jeff.
Thanks. And one of the things that I've, in some of the groups that I've chaired in the past, and Marika knows this, is I always insist on, I know we have to say the background and how we got there, but I always insist that goes into an appendix for all the groups that I've chaired. I just think it's important to document, but it doesn't have to be the first 10, 12, 15 pages of the document, because then people are asleep before they actually get to the, even though you have the executive summary, you should still put that in the appendix. Two things I wanted to touch on, and Stefan had brought up the GNSO review. I have a personal view on that, and I think, and I've talked to a couple of the board members and senior ICANN staff, and I've asked that they consider or try to figure out a way to delay the GNSO review at least a year, not just for all the issues that we've talked about that we've just come out of it, but I think you'll see in 2013 a very big change in the GNSO community with the new TLDs coming up, and there's going to be a lot of issues that arise because of that. And it doesn't make sense to me to start a review process that by the time that you have the review completed is already outdated, right? So, you're going to need to look at 2013 and probably 2014 to see the effect of the new GTLDs on the GNSO community. And to be doing a review at that time period doesn't make sense to me. So I've had that. It's been a complete personal opinion. It hasn't been discussed within the registry stakeholder group or obviously within the GNSO. So that's something I've had. On the new innovative ideas, we need to be a little bit careful because I think some of the other groups had some new ideas as well on workload. And one of the ideas that came out, which I said I didn't think it was a good idea, but it was basically to allocate and say, okay, during this year in 2013, next year, we can have a total of 50 public comment periods. Whoever uses those slots up, maybe 5 are reserved for this group, 5 are reserved for that group, another 5 reserved, and then the rest, it's a first come, first serve kind of reservation of slots. I mean, I don't think that's, I said that didn't make sense. The GNSO, obviously, we can't predict everything that's going to happen, and we can't enter a rigid system like that where you only have a certain amount of public comment periods a year. So let's just be a little bit careful. We do need to have some flexibility, and it's good to be innovative, but let's also think of the ramifications of that kind of thing.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Mikey.
Thanks, Stefan. My name is Mikey O'Connor. I'm coming at this from the perspective of a person who works on a lot of working groups, and just have one idea, and that is we on the working groups tend to look at the ICANN meetings as the fence posts. So there are three a year. So we structure our work so that the work is done in time for the ICANN meetings, which means we all show up with reports at exactly the same time because we're getting ready for the ICANN meetings. Why are we always getting ready for the ICANN meetings? Why don't we break the habit of reviewing everything at ICANN meetings? And instead, you know, what we're describing here is a project management problem where things are lumpy. It's lumpy three times a year because we're in the habit of reviewing these things at ICANN meetings. But we don't have to do that. We could review these things on some of the other GNSO Council calls. But in order for that to work, the way those calls happen has to change. I, as a member of a working group, have never been invited to present working group findings to a GNSO Council meeting at any time except at an ICANN meeting. But I'd be happy to do that. And as a result of taking that artificial once every third of the year lump out, we could reduce part of this problem by just making the pile of paper lower but more frequent through the year. So that's my only thought.
Just to address that, Mikey, that's probably pure chance or coincidence, because we do have regular updates with people coming in from working groups during our teleconference meetings that happen every month currently. So it's maybe just the work that you're doing currently has not, there's not been an update scheduled for that, and that's probably my fault because I've not scheduled one in the draft agenda, but we do that.
Yeah, I know, but what happens, I mean, it's not so much me. I'm not saying that I need to present it. But sitting in the working groups, the fence posts are the ICANN meetings. And we structure the working groups to hit those fence posts. So if you told us on the working groups, you don't have to hit the ICANN meeting fence post. You can hit any fence post you want. And in fact, we'd kind of prefer it if you didn't hit those fence posts. We could do that. But our habit in structuring, I'm only on five of them right now, and we've set them up so that the reports come out on that date.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing for us to know, because I don't think there's ever been, certainly not from where I'm sitting, any conscious word to working groups from the council, do your stuff per the ICANN meeting calendar. Actually, the word that I often try to give is get your stuff done as quickly as possible and make that report two-page long. But, I understand, and that's the basic problem. That's the basic premise of this discussion. That's the way we got into this discussion, is that we're all working to the ICANN meeting calendar. That's why we get reports, as we were explaining earlier on, at these ICANN meetings. That's why, and as you've explained, and that's a very useful view from the working group perspective, the working groups are working to that calendar as well, which means that we're probably self-limiting ourselves. So thanks for making those points. Let me just run down the queue. I have Wolf, Wendy, Liz, Alan, Chuck, John. I've got Margie, Christina, and then and Marika. And then I'd like to close the queue off and move on to the motion. So let me just, after John, who was next? I had Chris, was it Margie, Christina, and Marika? Thank you. Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. Much has been said, and which I can agree to, with regards to structural improvements and formative improvements during the public comment period. I fully understand that and would like to see an improvement on that. For example, the structure, we have different formats of comments on that, and maybe there could be some support given by staff in structuring that a little bit better. One point I only would like to raise here is with regards to prioritization. Workload has to do with prioritization, and you remember very well when Chuck was in charge. So we had a long discussion about that. So we had only limited consensus on that, how to prioritize our work here. I would like really to come back to that point, and because from my own experiences, so when I'm at home or in my office, so then I set my own priorities. On the one hand, I get priorities from my company, I get priorities from my home, I get priorities from where else, and then I look at what can I do. And I have got the feeling that we lost sometimes here on council level also that we would like to and how a process how we would like to prioritize our work, so because we are just collecting and work is coming in. So this is a point I would like to raise and would like to initiate to think about. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf. I have Wendy next.
Thanks. Two brief comments. One on the reply comment period. It seems that we're treating the whole thing as one long comment period, in which case there are 42 days for comments, and some people use 21 days for replying. Most people just bring up new issues there, which is fine, but we might as well just call it what it is. On the amount of reading and discussion, I would love to see us spend more time discussing and deeming documents read before the community gathers, and even deeming presentations read. I know people spend a lot of time preparing presentation slides, both staff and members of working groups and members of the community. I think it's useful to condense things down, but we can read the slides as circulated and then spend all of the time engaging in discussion and commentary rather than spending half of a period watching the slides scroll past. I think what we gain is hearing one another engage in real time.
Thanks. Liz.
This is Liz Gaster. I just wanted to comment briefly on the issue of helping new council members and helping people who are new to the ICANN community understand our processes and ways of doing things. And one of the requests or recommendations that was in the GNSO improvements report was to develop a curriculum for new council members and for individuals who are new to working groups. And we, as staff, had been holding off doing that until the working group's process had been complete and the new PDP process had been complete. But we do have draft modules, training-type modules, that we're planning to release shortly on the following areas. The role of a GNSO council member. GNSO council members have received a document with this headline on it before, but this is a much more fleshed-out version. An abbreviated explanation of the formation and operations of working groups. A guide for working group chairs. A guide on the new PDP, and then also a guide on the various technology tools that we use, since a lot of people coming in from other places in the community may not be as familiar with, say, Adobe Connect or our wikis or those kinds of things. So hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier and more accessible for new participants in the community. And we will be circulating those as drafts for all of your input, because we do want to make sure that they're readable and of appropriate length, and look forward to your input on those. And hopefully that'll at least help to resolve one aspect of what you're discussing. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz. That's good to know. And good to know that we'll be getting them as drafts as well. We'll be looking forward to having a look at that. Alan, next.
Thank you.
Two comments. First, on the concept of us targeting meetings as the thresholds, the target that we're working towards, there's no question that to some extent we use meetings as warning signs that another third of a year has passed and we really want to get something done, so we try to make that target. But to be honest, as often, or maybe oftener if we're doing our work properly, we're not using it as a target, as a time threshold, but as an opportunity to get input from the wider GNSO Council, from the GNSO Council, the wider GNSO, and the public in general. And that you can't necessarily do by scheduling something for a meeting. So we are using it as a threat, as a clock that's ticking, but we're also using it for real reasons. And I'm not sure we can get around those. I think we can solve at least part of the problem by making sure the comment periods are not necessarily fully synchronized with the release of the report. And, you know, if you're in a working group, for instance, that's issuing an interim report, you can continue, you still have work to do, even if you haven't, if the comment period hasn't finished. You don't have to waste time if the comment period is elongated to skip the ICANN meeting. There are ways to address that. I'm intrigued by the thing that Jeff raised of limiting it to 50 or some number of comment periods a year and allocating them. I wonder what happens if we exceed, if we're over the limit. I see two nice possibilities. Either we don't have to do the work, and that certainly limits our workload, or on those issues, we don't have to ask. We can just do it ourselves and ignore any community input, which has some merits. It may not yield a result everyone will like, but it's sure more expedient. So maybe we want to institute that.
Thanks, Alan. Chuck.
Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. You know, this has been great discussion. A lot of good ideas suggested. I've come to the conclusion in recent months that ICANN's at a place where we need to stop making individual improvements here and there and look at the whole picture. We need to get our heads together, not just the GNSO, because it affects all of ICANN, including our interactions with the board. Maybe even kind of start from scratch in our thinking. How can we improve? We know what the needs are. We know what the problems are. How can we do this differently? We've evolved from 1998, 1999. Most of the things we do are kind of, that's the way we did them, and we've tweaked them. We need to stop tweaking and look at the whole picture and see how can we make these weeks more effective, what we do these weeks, what we do in between, and so forth. And it's going to take some work. We're going to have to involve other SOs and ACs. But we need to start thinking about that and how to do that. And it's not going to be done in an hour session or a two-hour session. It may take a half-a-day session. But we should start looking at the whole picture.
Thanks, Chuck. And this is exactly why I wanted this session on, you know, because it is a way of, I agree with you, it's an excellent discussion. I'm a little saddened to see that we do tend to have better discussion when we're discussing, you know, the processes than the actual issues themselves. But maybe that's because we haven't had time to read the reports and we don't know what we're talking about when we're discussing the issues. Anyway, Joy, you've just put your hand up, but I actually closed the queue just before. So if let's just see how that goes. I've still got John, Margie, Christina, and Marika. We do need to talk about the motions as well. So let's just maybe if the four people just before you aren't too lengthy, then we can try and fit you in. So, John.
I appreciate what Chuck said, but my history suggests that as unwieldy as ICANN can be on a daily basis, it has not reached a point of extremis where it would be open to that kind of change yet. I think you've really got to be on the ropes before you're willing to think about things like that. I am a little concerned, though, in taking off from where Mary started about the need for efficiency. I believe that complexity is the enemy of efficiency, and that we have grown far more complex, certainly in the 9 years that I've been paying attention to ICANN, and I believe that this past month, we saw another significant increase in the level of complexity at ICANN, which will also bring in a host of new people who will need to be brought up to speed on all of the acronyms and legacy acrimony, I suppose. So the only point that seems clear to me is that there will be an emerging professional class, much as there is in Washington, D.C., that can devote almost full time to the issues that affect the businesses that they represent. This became clear to me in the course of my time working with Steve and Jonathan and others on the Consumer Trust Competition Working Group, is we were having two-hour conversations every week, and I began to cancel my participation in more of them than I was participating in, just because the level of complexity and the demand to deal with that complexity, it intruded too deeply into the rest of my life. I am not a professional ICANN representative. And so I worry about that. You know, I remember the old phrase about the worst thing that happened to government in America was the development of air conditioning, because it allowed Congress to stay in session all year round. I worry that we have become a year-round professional class devoted to the interests of the companies we represent, and you know that may ultimately streamline things because we'll all sort of know the handshake, but it might also exclude the kind of serendipity that I have long thought, that I have long felt every time I've come to these meetings. So I don't know if that's a positive view of the future or a negative one, but that's what I think right now.
Thanks, John. Margie.
Alan said what I was going to say.
Cool. Christina. While she's walking up, Marika, do you want to make your point?
Yeah, I can be very brief because basically as well, I can go on with Anne said, and March was making the same point, but just to say as well, it has been very effective in setting an ICANN meeting deadline for working groups to get them focused and really as a tangible deadline whereby they need to deliver their work. I've seen that in practice a lot of times that really helps in groups, you know, driving their workload to something. So, but
thanks. Christina.
Christina Rosette, IPC. This is kind of a mishmash just based on some observations. Starting, and if I've misunderstood what any of you meant to say, I apologize, but to the extent, for example, that Mary was suggesting that it would be necessary to have some kind of training in order to participate in a working group, I strongly disagree with that idea. I think it will really not only decrease the ability and the number of people who are able to participate, but frankly, at a time when this organization is taking arrows from what I refer to as the outside world, I'm not sure that we want to add to that. I do think, just agreeing with what John was saying, I think we really need to be cognizant as we're talking about things like working group, public comment, et cetera, what change we're going to see with the influx of new participants. You know, it may be, quite candidly, that once all of the dot brands do decide that they are going to go through with this and they do have registry agreements and they are members of the registry stakeholder group, that by virtue of some of the corporate structures of them, it may not only not be possible for them to put in comments in 21 days, but it may in fact affect the ability of the registry stakeholder group to do so. So I think we need to be very judicious at this point of not only talking about shortening comment periods, but also talking about making any changes that could fundamentally change how entities that have kind of put a stake in the ground to say, yeah, I'm planning to participate in this space, how they can, in fact, do that. I do think I recognize Marika's point that having the ICANN meetings as a goal is helpful, but I don't see why you couldn't just change that to a GNSO meeting. I completely agree with Mikey. I found in many cases that work was not necessarily being done as thoroughly as it needed to be at the working group level, in part because everybody was just really barreling full force down the road towards this ICANN meeting deadline. And I think if you can spread it out, I think it'll be more helpful. And finally, to the extent that they have these newcomer to ICANN tracks, which I think they've been doing, I think it would be really helpful to include something in those about working groups and public comment. As someone who recently had occasion to plow through about 2 applicant guidebook comment periods, you know, some things came through very clearly to me about, gee, it's really much more helpful if people actually use bullet points as opposed to burying their point in the middle of a paragraph. And gee, if you have specific language that you think should be changed, put it out clearly. And I would have to say that in a 15-minute conversation with not only the folks who put in public comments and the folks who have to review them, that you could probably come up with a pretty handy list of, you can write your public comment however you want, but as a practical matter, it's more efficient for the entire organization, everyone participating, if you keep this, these suggestions as to how you may want to format it. Just a mishmash of thoughts.
Thank you very much. Joy, I think we have time for you.
Thank you, Stefan. I just wanted to pick up on some of the comments that were made earlier by Chuck and Alan and also by John and echo them. And you know, as one of the relatively new GNSO councillors, you know, I've certainly found this an intriguing and interesting sort of challenging space to come into. And I think one of the observations I would make to sort of echo some of the earlier comments is that we seem to spend a lot of time on administrivia that gets in the way of the meta discussions that we need to have. And I wonder whether we shouldn't take some of this time that we have as councillors together for some sort of thematic meta discussions. One suggestion is rotating those by sector groups, choosing a particular topic that they would really like to discuss, the councils discuss together, and just rotating that opportunity in meetings so that we actually get to some of the things such as GNSO working relationships with the GAC, rather than having those tacked around items of work so that we aren't seeing the bigger picture of our council effectiveness.
Thank you very much. I actually think we've improved a lot in that area over the past few years, and detail is important as well, and process is important, and we do need to discuss that. And certainly I can say one element of feedback that I can provide on this new format of council leadership that has been in place since Chuck was chair, which was three years ago, which is having one chair and 2 vice chairs. I certainly found it very useful to free the chair from the actual issues, and just to let the chair concentrate on the actual running of the council, as it were, just making sure things are done the way they should be. And I'm fortunate to have 2 very good vice chairs that are both very much on top of the issues and that can speak for their house and represent their interest groups. And I think they do so very effectively. So I think the process certainly has worked very well, and that was certainly the case when Mary was vice chair as well last year. So that's one of the avenues, I think, where we've improved and where we've become more efficient. But a lot of good ideas today, and let's hope that we can continue that discussion, the discussions that we've had, and take some of these points forward. Right now I'd like to switch to a discussion of the motions that we have on the agenda for Wednesday.
Stefan, is there going to be any sort of follow-up to this discussion? Or is it going to be transcribed and archived?
It is. It's already archived, Thomas. We archive everything, and we'll put out a 200-page report sometime before the next ICANN meeting, 2 hours before, maybe. No, I'm. Sorry to be so flippant, but the idea of this was an open discussion. I think your question is very good. Where do we take it from here? But this is another area where I think we've improved, and we do obviously a lot of ideas come out of these discussions. One or two ideas do tend to stay with us. We do tend to come back to them and do try and move things forwards. I mean, if you look at what's happened over the past few years, we have, as a council, introduce new ideas that we've just done on the fly, basically, the latest of which is, for example, the consent agenda, which is not something that we've done officially yet, although we've asked the SCI to do it, to have a look at it. So we're using our official processes, but in the meantime, we're not stopping each other from moving forward on those ideas. And I think this is another area where we can do that. So my answer to you, Thomas, is the discussion will continue if we all band together and push it forward. And there's nothing stopping you or anyone else from taking that discussion forward, taking away some of the ideas that were expressed today, giving them some thought, and coming back and maybe even tomorrow or during the week or at the wrap-up, which is always a good opportunity to do that on Thursday, and saying, look, this is a good idea. What can we do about that?
Thanks, because I think that some of the ideas that were voiced definitely are worthwhile to being implemented sooner or later.
I agree. Thanks very much. So let's move on to the motion discussion. The first motion we have on our agenda for Wednesday is one that was made by Wolf and seconded by John. It was deferred from the previous meeting, the previous council teleconference, and it has seen a lot of discussion on the list, so I expect we'll see some of that here today. Once again, as a reminder to maybe not to the council but to everyone else, this session is an opportunity for the council to talk about the motions, hopefully thrash out any issues that some may have with the motions, maybe work on them so that we get to the council meeting on Wednesday and the process is relatively streamlined. So let me open it up for discussion on the motion that was made by Wolf and seconded by John. You have it on the screen in front of you, and Thomas, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Stefan. I had the chance to talk to Wolf Ulrich earlier about this motion, and I very much thank Wolf Ulrich for bringing this up and being so diligent in order not to, you know, lose track of this type of action. My feeling, though, is that the motion covers, to a large extent, if not completely, what has already been dealt with in other action lines. And I think that it would be worthwhile finding out during the session whether the council comes to the conclusion that the topics covered by the motion are actually in capable hands with other projects at the moment, in which case I would kindly ask Wolf Ulrich to withdraw the motion. But that's only in case we feel confident enough that the subjects are dealt with. And then a possible suggestion to move forward would be to table this in 1-2 years' time to see whether the other projects have actually covered and completed on these issues. And if that were the case, then it could be completely shelved. And if we find out that there are certain things that are underway do not adequately cover the issue or do not resolve them completely, then we could bring it back up. But I see, you know, with limited resources, I see duplication with this effort, and I think it would be a sign of maturity for the GNSL Council to carefully analyze the work that is going on in parallel and getting rid of those that cause duplicate work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Anyone else want to get in the queue? Wolf.
Thank you, Stefan, and Thomas as well. What is your motion about? You know, I wouldn't just briefly reiterate what is written. You know, it is resolved that the issue of who is access. So, and we discussed a lot on the list. What is it about in last time? So, but I hope that it's clear that we refer to certain documents which are on the table coming from the SSAC and us as well, that this is included in the RAA policy development process when it commences. So this is the one that is the issue about. And then the other is, okay, and this reflects the uncertainty I myself and the constituency where I come from has with it about whether it's covered or not. It says, okay, the GNSL Council shall review by end of September whether the RAA PDP has commenced and included this issue or whether alternative approaches should be pursued. Let me just explain, so for my, so we have discussed the RAA this afternoon as well, and the RAA is one topic, so where those items are dealt with as well. And the uncertainty comes from that, so that on the one hand, we are not members of the negotiation teams. So that's the one thing, so we really don't know what is going on. We receive signals from the reports, and so signals again, which I have seen on the list of the contentious documents, say, tell me there are documents dealing with that. There are documents discussed, yeah, but they are contentious, they are controversial, and I don't know whatever is going to happen with those things. This is the uncertainty behind of that. And that is the reason why we come up with this motion. Maybe we can discuss that. Maybe this motion comes too early. Maybe this motion could be revised, amended in a manner which covers better what is already covered in others or so. So this is just to be open here to tell you about that, and that is the background. So far from my side. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, and thanks, Stefan, and I support Thomas's comments, but it's still, I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around it, and maybe I'm just stuck. But I'm trying to figure out what it is, specifically, just a concrete example of something you want to make sure that's addressed in a PDP, if it happens, that is not covered by the other work that's going on, not just in the with the RAA negotiations, but the work that's going on with the roadmap for implementing the SAC 51, with the work that's being done on the WHOIS studies, with the work. What is it that you're so concerned about, that you're so worried about, a concrete example that you need to not just to have a motion right now that we have to approve to make sure it's covered? And really, the appropriate place to cover these types of things is when a PDPD starts, is the charter. It's not to do a motion now to come up with something that you want to cover later on. It's when we talk about the charter for that group, because that's still under our control. The board tells us we have to do a PDP, but the charter itself is under our control. Just put it in the back of your mind, write a note to yourself, and remember it at that point in time. To come up with a motion now just creates a whole bunch of ambiguities and sends a message from the GNSO Council that we believe that there are certain issues that may not be addressed, and so we're reserving the right to put that in. So I agree with Thomas that I think until we come up with a concrete example, and once you come up with that concrete example, why it can't just be in the charter document, I don't see the point of this motion, and it really creates duplicative work.
Wolf.
Just briefly, and that this is my explanation from where I come from a telecom company. So I checked the documents and I saw, okay, we are dealing with reviewing and the WHOIS protocol, for example, and we are reviewing and we are renewing other technical items. So for me, when I read this SAC roadmap, it's very much technically related. So this is my impression of that. So from a company which is operating services, the operation of these things and handling of these things is a crucial issue. That means it's not only the technology, the technique which is behind of that, it's how it is handled during the process. During the process from the registrant through the registrant, towers, registries, and wherever, and how is that handled? And this is what I am still missing. So this is one part of that. So that's my explanation to that.
Okay. Can I go to Mike? Are you standing up because you want to speak? Can I go to Mike and then back to you?
Thanks, Stefan. And right off the bat, this is Mike O'Connor again. Apologies to my counselor, because I'm going to give you new information, and I wish I could have done this ahead of time. I didn't see this on the agenda. I was on the RAP working group and was part of the group that drafted this recommendation, and I've just quick checked around with a couple other colleagues on the working group, and I just kind of want to replay the bidding on this particular recommendation from the RAP. This is a pretty narrow recommendation about Port 43, and what we did is we did a little research study to see how many registrars answered on Port 43, and we found some percentage that didn't, and we sort of said, you know, in this big long laundry list that we came up with out of that working group, we came up with this recommendation, which said, you know, we should really tighten that up. We should really make that particular performance standard tighter. I think that the trouble that we're running into right now is that that's a fairly stale recommendation given the events over the last several years. Since the RAP drafted that, there's been a lot of good work from the Who Is RT, just a whole host of other things. And so as a member of the working group, this is one that if you said, thanks, RAP working group, but roll this one into a subsequent study, maybe follow Jeff's idea of keep it in our minds for the charter of a subsequent working group, because it's a very narrow, very specific, it is an issue, it's real, we documented it, but I'm not sure that this is one that we need to lose a lot of sleep on, and so as one of your constituents, Wolf, I apologize for kind of throwing you under the bus on this one, but there you go. Anyway, sorry. That's it.
No, that's useful, Mikey. Don't apologize. You may have to explain yourself to Wolf afterwards, but
I may have to buy him some beer tonight.
No, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, and thanks, Mikey. I think that's what I tried to get at, and I didn't do it as eloquently as you did at the last council meeting, because when the RAP group talked about access, it was in that kind of context. It wasn't what's written here, which is that it's reliable and enforceable. That adds a whole dimension to access that was never intended by the term access by the REP group. And that's one of the other reasons I fundamentally oppose this motion, because you're now getting into policy, which has been the same Who Is policy rut that we've been in for 12 years. And if you want to ensure that no work gets done, you'll change the term of access. I mean, so I think anytime we do something new with Who Is, we have to be narrow enough to make sure we understand and each group understands completely what those terms, how those terms are being used. And that's what the definition of access was in the RAP group. That's the definition we should follow here and not broaden it to something it was never intended. And I do think that with that, you have SSAC 51, you have the RAA negotiations, you have a whole bunch of other things going on. Thick Who Is that, as Mikey said, is made this pretty stale.
Thanks. Saeed?
This might be relevant now, considering I think things are moving on, but just, Jeff, you said that what was in the motion with the words accessible in an appropriately reliable enforcement consistent fashion wasn't what the RAPWG had intended. Do I understand you correctly?
That's correct. When the REP group was talking about Who Is access, it was not talking about reliable information or enforceable information. It was talking about access to Port 41 and making sure that the connection itself and being able to get the data was reliable.
So I have
I fear that the way it's used here is more of a policy discussion of what makes the data in Who Is enforceable. It confuses concepts.
So I have a follow-up. I'm actually looking at the RAP working group report, and on page 13, Recommendation one, the GNSO should determine blah, blah, blah. What additional research and process may need to be ensured that the WHOIS data is accessible in an appropriately reliable, enforceable, and consistent fashion? It's in the report.
I understand that's one of the recommendations, but that's not the recommendation that deals with WHOIS access.
It says WHOIS access right at the top there.
Okay, that's not.
I'll refer you to page 13.
Okay, I'll go back and read it.
Yeah, thanks.
But it was my understanding that access, that issue is you might want, but that's okay.
No, Zahid is exactly correct. That's specifically what it says in relation to the WHOIS access recommendation of the RAP working group. The only thing that has been added here is, I think, in response to a proposed amendment, I don't know if it was Joy or Wendy, in relation to the, you know, and does not violate freedom of expression, privacy, and related rights. That was what added. But that first part comes verbatim from the RAP working group recommendation on WHOIS access.
I'm good.
Yeah, just if I quickly respond. But is that when just so we understand, when you talk about, because you can't take the recommendation in isolation without the discussions that occurred. I mean, you can, but that's not the way it was intended. So is your understanding, just when we're talking about access, I mean, access that's consistent and enforceable, was it your understanding that access meant the physical access to port 43 or the physical access? I think when you look at these terms, reliable, enforceable, I'm just feeling like there's a disconnect here between what our organizations think.
So we've got 4 minutes left, and we do have another motion that we need to talk about, maybe very briefly, but I don't want to take time from the next session, which is important as well. So that motion was made by me. It hasn't been seconded yet, so this is an opportunity to call for a second. The motion is on the IRD, the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. We have discussed it already, and you know that we are looking at approving the final report from that group, which was revised following SSAC input into that work. We would like to approve that report and send it on to the board, and we commit to providing advice with regards to the recommendations to the board in due course. So, and thanking the group for their work. And the reason I've made the motion is to basically try and move this on. It's not because I was specifically involved with the work. It's because I'm trying to do some admin stuff on this and try and get this moved on. I have Chuck, Ching, Zahid. Thank you. Zahid has seconded the motion. Okay. Ching?
Thank you, Stefan. I did reply to you previously. I plan to, in my personal view, to second this motion, but I thought, and also at the registry group, we did have some, if not much, of the discussion on this issue about we have something like a kind of a placeholder whereas sentence, if something coming up with some policy implication, the council will still have to consider that. My understanding, and maybe somebody else on this working group and help me and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we are looking at 4 recommendations in this revised report, and actually we are talking about, you know, the 4 recommendations actually potentially we will have to run this by, at least from the registry point of view and also from the registrar point of view, by the in-house technical team, whether this recommendation can be worked or not. And I understand in the issue report, the recommendation number 2 does have a room for a potential issue report or even moving to a PDP for the contractual part of the IRD. So I just like to wrap up by saying that I hold my trying to second the motion simply because I thought we should have this motion run once again, not just registry, but other constituencies in the GNSO should have further thoughts into this motion or this report. Maybe Chuck, you have something to add.
Yeah, thanks, Ching. Chuck.
Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. I guess the thing that puzzles me with this motion, Stefan, is why is it being forwarded to the board before the GNSO Council or the GNSO has reviewed it and provided its recommendations? Of what value is that to the board? Are we just communicating, hey, we got this, we're going to review it, and we will provide advice later? If I'm a board member, it doesn't help me very much if I don't have your feedback on it.
Because the work was done by the group, it was reworked following, because this is a joint piece of work that we're doing with SSAC as well, reworked with them, and we now have a final report. So we can look at it, send it back to the working group, which SSAC did, or we can just continue following on the process and sending it to the board. So that's a basic answer. I saw two hands, Liz and Ching. So Ching and Liz.
Thank you, Liz. But actually, just follow up on Chuck's question and your reply is that I saw on tomorrow's agenda, we still have a chance to talk with SSAC. I'm not sure it's on the agenda for tomorrow's SSAC briefing, but I thought there could be chances for the council to talk with the SSAC representatives or actually staff on this particular issue. And personally, if I have the approval or others from the registry group sitting in the council, I'll be happy to make a friendly amendment saying that we receive the report and their very, very good work, but it really needs some further thoughts from at least the registry and the registrar thoughts on that.
Thanks to both of you for making those points. Let me add by saying that if there are outstanding issues, then I'm happy to, as proposer of the motion, to look at them. If we need to hold off or consider friendly amendments, that really is what this session is for, and I'm happy to do that. Once again, the aim is to try and move this on, but not try and move this on without looking at what needs to be done. Liz?
Just two things, Liz Gaster. First, I understand that the SSAC has completed its review, so even of the revised report. So it is simply waiting for the GNSO to act, and then its hope is that jointly this report would go to the board. I feel a little bit responsible for this motion and the language in it because it was something, honestly, that I suggested to the chairs. And the reason why I did is because when I read the joint report and read these recommendations, it was my view, just based on my quiz work, that this was going to take a lot of discussion in the GNSO before it could go to the board, unless... because my concern was that if the board received this with kind of a rubber stamp from the GNSO without any discussion or recognition of what some of was involved here, that the board, because it asked for advice on this in 2009, could turn around and say to the SSAC and GNSO, okay, you've approved this report as is, now go implement it. And my concern is that the GNSO hasn't really talked about these recommendations, and that there are recommendations that may be of concern. And so my effort in drafting the motion this way was to provide a mechanism for the ESSEC and the GNSO to present a report that the board has been waiting for since 2009 to it, but flag it to the board to say, even though here's the advice that you asked for from the working group, but the GNSO still has advice it wants to give on this and hasn't had a chance to discuss it. So it was merely a mechanism to get the report to the board without delaying it for the discussion that, in my view, was something you all wanted to do. Now, others on the staff have said that that was not a good idea on my part, and that we really should have just held up the motion until you all did have full time to vet and discuss these recommendations and decide whether you wanted to proceed to move this report to the board or not. So I'm just explaining why I took the approach that I did. I got a lot of criticism even from my colleagues saying this is really probably premature to handle it this way. So that's how we are. The language of the motion could easily be rewritten based on what you all want to do next.
Yeah, thanks for making that point, Liz. Much better than I did.
Can I respond very quickly, Stefan?
Yeah.
Chuck Gomes again. I'm perfectly okay with the sentiment you just expressed. I didn't fully pick that up in here is my problem.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. And then we'll close.
Thanks.
5 minutes overdue.
This is not an issue that I've been particularly involved in, but I am really troubled that something that's been going on for 2+ years, 3 years, we're now being told that registries and registrars have some problems with it and need to discuss it. It's awful late in the game for that. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's bring that to a close. We are 6 minutes into the next session. Let's have a 2-minute break if we can, then we'll go straight into the discussion of our meetings with the GAC and the board, GAC today, board tomorrow. Thank you.